You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Genesis 13, verse 10. Genesis 13, we're in a series, Jesus in Genesis. And so we are going to kind of go into a different, or should I say, you're going to start to see a common theme as we go through Genesis now. Last week was the first week where we really touched upon Abraham. And so we came, we had an introduction into Abraham. And so what you're going to see, the common theme of what we're going to look at, it's Jesus in Genesis, but the whole way through, you see these two things, flesh versus spirit. That's what you're going to see all the time now, flesh versus spirit. This is a deeper walk, so we study, we go deeper, we want something a bit more. This is the meat part of the message. And so say it with me, flesh versus spirit. One more time, flesh versus, it's like somebody didn't want to say the flesh. When you listen, it's flesh versus spirit. And so you're going to see this. We saw it a little bit last week when we looked at Egypt and staying in the promised land. It's flesh versus spirit. Egypt is flesh. Staying in the promised land is spirit. And so the guy we're going to look at today is a guy called Lot. And so Lot is a strange character. We know a little bit about him, mostly from the Old Testament. A little bit from the New Testament. And so background on Lot. Lot is Abraham's nephew. And so Lot's father dies. And so what happens is Abraham kind of takes him on board like he's his son. And so remember they were in Ur of the Chaldeans, which was Iraq. And so we talked about they leave Iraq and they go up to a place called Haran, which is what we would say today is Turkey. Remember we said this is where Abraham's dad dies and then Abraham leaves Haran and he goes down into Canaan. And so all this time, this journey, is Lot is with Abraham. All this time, Lot is with Abraham. Then we looked at last week, they go into Egypt, which was a bad move. And then we ended on a good note, is that Abraham comes out of Egypt. So this is where we're going to come into the story. And so the Bible says that both Abraham and Lot had increased in wealth. So they're both wealthy guys. But what happens is that they've got loads of cattle and servants and that. And what's happening is Abraham's servants and Lot's servants are arguing because there's so much cattle and so much things going on. There's not enough space where they pitch their tent right there. And so Abraham says, listen, look, I don't want no beef with you. So you pick somewhere, you go there, I'll stay here. So Abraham's not kicking him out. He's just saying, look, we can't logistically stay exactly in this area. There's still a whole heap of land that they can still have and be in the promised land. And so this shows as well, sometimes there's a beef and you've got to be the one to say, you know what, I'll allow you. So many times there's a beef, we're like, no, I'm going to take charge. When you do that, what you're showing is you just don't believe God is the one in charge. Sometimes you just got to let things go. You got to let things, listen, I'm not even going to beef with you. What do you want to do? You want to do this? No problem. You do that, I'll do this. Because you know God is the ultimate one who's in charge. How many believe that? You better believe it because that's going to help you. So Abraham says to Lot, Make your choice. Remember, up to this point, Lot has always followed Abraham. And so Lot is about to make his own choice. Can I say to you and I today, we all got to come to a place in different areas of our life where we've got to make our own choice. Where you've got to choose. You know, as a church, you come to church and we preach you the gospel and we expect you to live a certain way. And so we can advise you as the leadership of the church and we can tell you things. But how many know when it really comes down to the nuts and bolts, you got to choose. I can't choose who you marry. It's not that type of church. I heard there's a church where pastors do that. They match make. No, 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 no. You know, last time we see someone in the Bible match make, Adam and Eve, we see how it turned out. So I'm not going to be matchmaking nobody. You've got to make that choice where you work, the career you have, where you study, what you do with your money, if you buy, if you sell. You've got to make some choices. And what we hope is this, that we give you enough of Jesus that the choices you make are godly. But you got to make your own choice. Look at someone say, make your own choice. That's right. You've got to make your own choices. Let me make this statement. And I want you to get this statement because if you don't get nothing else, this is really what this message is about. We will all rise or fall based upon our choices. We will all of you here, me included, will rise, meaning we'll be blessing, great life, or we will fall. We will go through trauma. That's it. Destiny is lost based upon your choices. The choices that you make. And so we want to look at this guy Lot and let God help us because there are many choices laid before us. Genesis 13, verse 10, the Bible says, and Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plains of Jordan. He chose for himself, and Lot journeyed eastward. And they separated from each other. That's Abraham and Lot. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Cana. So that's the promised land. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace and your mercy, for your love, for your kindness. Father, help us. We desperately need you in the choices of life. There are so many choices. And Father, we become so easily distracted, so easily derailed and deterred and all of these things. But we pray right now that, Lord, you will speak to us and you would help us and you would energize us so that we will make the right choices. Choices that will first glorify you. Choices that will build your kingdom. Choices that will bless our life. Not just our lives, but those around us and our families. Father, we ask you this, and most of all, we pray that your son Jesus would be magnified. And all God's people said, amen. And all the real Christians said, amen. The Bible says here that Lot, in the first part of the text, Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw that the plains of Jordan. And so he looked and he saw, and the Bible says that he saw that they were well watered everywhere. And so in an agricultural setting, this is an agricultural setting. When you see these things well watered, to me that, you know, to us that means nothing, especially living in England, it's always raining. So water, we've got water everywhere. We don't care about that. But in an agricultural sense, in a desert land, when you see an area which is well watered, well naturally irrigated, just where there's all this water around, that's a place where you can raise cattle. That's a place where you can plant and you can actually get a return on it. Really, what it's saying is he saw this place that was well watered. And in our term, it means, listen, you can make a lot of money there. That's what it looks. That's, if we was to put it in modern terms, what he's saying is Lot looked at an area. Lot, he looked in a specific position and he said, listen, that's a place where I can make some money. When he looked at it, what he's saying is, this is a good place. He looks and he says, this is a good place. I can do something here. I can make a life here. This is the place to go. I can live the dream life here. And so it looks like a good place. There's water for your animals. There's water for your crops. You're going to have plenty. You're going to grow. You're going to increase. This is a good place. And so when he looks, he sees, and he comes to the understanding, this is a good place. Say it with me, good place, good place. And so how many would agree with me this looks like a good place from this point on? From this point.
But, and there's always a but here with man, the Bible says something, gives us a bit more information about this place. And at the end of the text that I read, which was verse 13, it says that, but the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And so here we have a good place, a place where you can make a life for yourself, make some money, do some stuff, but it's actually a bad place. So it looks good, because we all said it looks good, correct? It looks good, but it's actually bad. Listen, we could preach a whole sermon on that. Things that look good, but they're bad. There's some ladies here, you met a guy, not the guy that you're in church with now, not your husband, amen, but you know some guys that look good, but they're bad. And some brothers here, you know, there's some sisters, not the ladies in this church, amen. I have to clarify that. They look good and they are good, amen. Can I get an amen, ladies? Amen. Praise God. And so, you know, I don't know enemies, man. And so, but listen, there are some women, they look good. Let's just keep it real. And he said, no, they don't even look. No, they look good. They look good, but they're bad. And so there are so many things in life that look good, but they're bad. And that's where, Lot is. He's looking at something that looks good, but it's bad. And what do we mean? It's good for my pocket, but bad for my soul. Do you know there are things that can be good for your pockets, but bad for your soul? Can I say this to you? Not every opportunity for prosperity is from God. Not every opportunity for prosperity is from God. So many times people think, oh, you know what? I've been blessed. This is this opportunity. I've got to take it. Not every opportunity naturally, automatically, just because it looks good, it doesn't mean that it's right. Because we have a case in point here. It looks good to the flesh, but it's bad to the spirit. Looks good to the world, but it looks bad to the church. See, what we're talking about here is a place of compromise. Good and bad in one thing. When you see good and bad in one thing, then there has to be a compromise. So we have to, the last government we had, they called it a coalition. And so what happened was the conservatives and the liberal Democrats come together and said, let's bring a coalition. We're going to have a government against Labour. So they came together and they had a coalition. You know what the problem was? Well, the conservatives did well out of it. And I've got no beef with that. But the liberal Democrats were decimated because all the core liberal Democrats were like, we voted for you. We thought you was going to get into power and do what we told you to do. And one of the key things they were talking about was charging the students and all of these things. And the conservatives rolled roughshod all over that. And so the core liberal Democrat voters says, we're not voting for you no more. See, compromise, when you compromise, someone has to lose. Something has to be lost. You couldn't have fully conservative and fully Democrat, but it's still a coalition. They had to negotiate. They had to make compromises. This is what they were talking about. Oh, we said this, but we didn't do that because we had to make compromises. This is the same with us, where we see something which is good, but really it's bad. We make compromises when we allow for it. Lot is going to make a compromise. What this reveals is the wrong motives. Lot, why do you want to go into Sodom? Because it looks good. Looks good to what? Looks good to my pocket. Lot, what's your motives? Are you going there because there's godly people there? Nope. It's not that. Not only wrong motives, it shows the wrong priorities. Wrong priorities because, Lot, why are you going there? Is it because you want to increase the kingdom of God? Is it because you love God and you want to be around godly people? No. The reason he's going there is because it looked good. I'm living the dream. This is my desire. Look, this is where it's going to work for me.
The Bible says in 1 John 2, verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. When he speaks about the Father, he's talking about God the Father. And so what the Bible is saying is when you love the world and the things in the world, you're not in love with God. If you love the world and the things of the world, you cannot be in love with God. This is what the Bible says. It's one or the other. That's a very, very, very challenging scripture. I don't know if you feel the challenge there. I feel it. Not to love the world or the things in the world. Because he's saying, listen, then you're not really, when you do that, it reveals that there's not a love of God in you. You're not in relationship with God. He says this, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Those three things, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Now, you do in your own study, you go back to the garden when the serpent tempted Eve, you'll see the same three things. Because remember what he said to her, oh, this looks good. This will make you wise. This looks good to eat. These are the same three things that we see that are constantly being offered to us and that constantly the devil wants us to lust after these things. The lust of the flesh, my flesh wants it. I see it. The pride of life. He says, is not of the Father, but of the world. The world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. He who does the will of God abides forever. The key point here is that when you put the world above God, you're not, there's the love of God is not in you. When you put the world above God. Now, before we kind of, sometimes when I realize when you talk about scriptures, we just kind of, well, that's not me because I'm a Christian. So that doesn't mean nothing to do with me. Well, I wouldn't be so sure. The Bible says in James 4, verse 4, adulterous and adulteresses. What is adulteress? An adulteress is someone who committed adultery. They were married with someone. So when he's speaking about this, he's talking about Christians. He's not talking about people in the world because people in the world were never married. They've not entered into a relationship with God. He's talking about people that have entered into a relationship with God. Then he says this, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Wow. Friendship with the world. Every Thursday, me and a few guys, we do this thing called Bible Workout where we're going through the book of James. And so we've been going through this for the last 7 weeks. And we did a study on chapter 4. We went through it. We went through word by word. We broke it down. And so what we discovered here was that in this text, 4 verse 4, it says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Those two word friendships, they're actually different words. The first word, what it means is to desire. To court, to go after. And he says, there's people, he says, don't you understand that when you get this mindset that you just want to go after the world is first. And this is just like Lot, because Lot looks at the plain of Sodom. Oh, wow, everything will be good for me there. This is perfect. This is what I want. And he says, when you go in that direction, this could be trouble. He says that you become an enemy of God. Something in you, you start to fight with God. Lot does go into Sodom. The Bible says that when the angels, if you know anything about Sodom, God is going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. God is going to judge homosexuality. He's not into homosexuality. He's not into man with man, woman with woman. He's not into those things. Now, you may say you're in a modern society and all of that. Let me just say something just pretty, you know, put it out there. I do not hate homosexuals. It's not like, yo, but we're not going to do that. That's not what we're about. Boom, bye, bye. We're not into that. Because that is just as carnal. That is just as carnal and just as hypocritical. So this is not bashing anybody. This is the reality that God made man and woman. Because what you got to understand is, what is God's purpose for man and woman? God's purpose for man and woman is that they would come and become one, intimate, and then out of that intimacy, children would be born and they would procreate, there would be children, and basically man would multiply. Man and man can't multiply. Woman and woman can't multiply. So that we know it's an abomination, it's a perversion, it's a diversion of what God originally wanted. I can't put lemonade in my car to fuel it. I just want to put lemonade in there. I like lemonade and my car should have been. It just won't work. And the same is with that. It's not because I hate this, I hate that. No, it's just a logistics. It's not going to work. And so God is going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says, remember, in our text, God says, but the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against God. And so God is going to judge Sodom. When God sends the angels in to get Lot, because he sends angels in to get him out. I'm not going to read it all. You read it in your own time. But he sends angels in to get. The Bible says that Lot was sitting in the gate of the city. What that means is Lot is all up in the town hall. That's where Lot is. Lot is not just there chilling like. You know, you move to Wandsworth or you. No, Lot is he's up there with the mayor. He's sitting down with the guys, commerce, doing business. Whenever you read in the Bible about the gate of the city, that's the place of power, the place of business, the place of commerce. So Lot is deep in Sodom. Deep. The problem is not just that he's deep in Sodom, but Sodom starts to have an effect on him. And this is where I want to kind of go in this direction, is that Sodom, when you start to make this thing, this journey away from God, and you're making these journeys into something which looks good but is bad, we established that, it will have an effect upon you. Before we start to bash Lot, yeah, Lot was just wicked, Lot was evil, Lot was a joke, Lot was this. No. Lot was a righteous man. You don't believe me? I didn't get no amens. But listen, 2 Peter 2 verse 7. You know, I don't like to say things. I like the Bible to say things. And so 2 Peter 2 verse 7 says, and delivered righteous Lot. Peter's saying he's a righteous man who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. That righteous man, he's talking about Lot, dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. So the Bible actually says that when Lot was in Sodom, he would see them doing things and he's like, oh, this is bad. This is nasty. No, I'm not into this. Well, I am. Well, he didn't like it, but he's still doing it. He's still in business with them. He didn't like it enough to move. Problem is this, is that Sodom so easily gets in us. Genesis 19 verse 8, I'm going to go down some scriptures so we can really establish what we're saying is. The Bible says, see now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, that you may do with them as you wish. What's happening here is when the angels go into Sodom and Gomorrah to rescue Lot, the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, they want the angels. This place is jacked up, man. Think about it now. They see angels, they're like, yeah, we want them, man, there. And so, here it is. They want the men. So Lot's like, no, you can't have these men. These men are under my house. Okay, that's good, Lot. But listen to what Lot said. Lot then said, okay, guys, don't have the men. I'll give you my two daughters. They're virgins. How many know Lot has lost his mind? Lot, you've lost your mind. Where did you learn that from? We know where he's learning from. Sodom is now getting in him. The righteous man that was once vexed by their uncleanness, once you start living among this for a while, it starts to become natural to you. Now he does, yeah, well, let my daughters go out there. Who knows? Maybe. No. Not only this, the Bible says that when the men were going to take him out, Genesis 19, verse 16, and while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, the hands of his two daughters, and the Lord, being merciful to him, they brought him out and set him outside the city The Bible says he's lingering. Realistically, you know what the angels had to do? They had to drag him out. They had to drag him out of his sin. He's lingering. You know, sometimes you see someone, you say, hey, what you're involved in, that's sin. That's wrong. And it's like they just linger. They're lingering. They're not making any decision to change. Come on, that's blatantly wrong. The Bible, do you see what the Bible says? Yes. Then why are you lingering? Because Sodom is in you. Genesis 19, verse 20, look what he says here. This is when he's out of the city. They said to Lot, go to the mountains. The angel said, go to the mountains, run up the hill. Get as far away from this place as you can. And this is what Lot replied to them. Genesis 19, 20, see now, this city is near enough to flee to. And it is a little one. Please let me escape there. It is a little one, and my soul shall live. This is like when you try to tell people, look, you need to make some decisions. Living for Jesus, sometimes you're going to have to discipline your flesh. You're going to have to make some decisions that are difficult. You're going to have to get rid of some things that are going to hurt. And what we do is we're like, no, is there another option? Is there an easier option? This is just a little compromise. This is just a little sin. Rather than you saying, you know what, I want to go as far away from my carnality and my sin as I can. Now this is just a little one. It's going to affect your relationships. Genesis 19, verse 6, they said, stand back. Then they said, this one came to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. So they press hard against the man Lot and came there to break down the door. This is when Lot is telling the men are all now around the house. Like I said, they want the angels. And Lot's like, no, don't do this, man. Don't do this. And this is what they say to him. They say, hold up. You've come in and you stayed with us and you keep trying to judge us. He's like, they're like, come on, hey, you're giving us mixed messages, Lot. You're giving us mixed messages. Like, you hang with us, and you laugh with our dirty jokes, and you watch the same things we watch, and you listen to the same things, and you get involved with all that stuff. But then on the flip side of it, you want to talk about, yeah, but you shouldn't fornicate. They're like, you're giving us mixed messages. You're a judge around. You're judging us. Like, come on, what's going on? Are you here? Are you with us, Lot, or are you not? This guy just came in, he hangs with us, and now he wants to judge us. Genesis 19, verse 14. So Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-laws. Now remember, his two daughters, they have not known men. Because remember, that's what he tells the angels. I have two daughters, they've not known men. Now why are these sons-in-laws? Because they are betrothed. Just like how Joseph and Mary was, they were betrothed. Remember, Joseph was betrothed to Mary, but Mary was then found pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and then he said he was going to give her a writing of divorce. But remember, he hadn't even been with her yet because they were betrothed. Once you're betrothed, it's just a formality. You're actually going to be married. This was a formality. So these are his two son-in-laws. These are the two men that are going to, they are engaged, as we would say it, but it's far more legally binding. These two men are engaged to his daughters. So Lot is speaking to them who had married his daughters and said, this is what he says to them, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But to his sons-in-laws, he seemed to be joking. They're like, so here is now, Lot has just been hanging with them, just doing his own thing. And then now he comes to them and says, hey, listen, guys, man, says angels here, this place is going to be destroyed. And they're like, are you joking? Come on, man, what are you talking about? It's like, come on, are you pulling our leg? When you talk to people and you're like, hey, bro, hey, I saw this video and Jesus is coming back. Please, you're a joke. If Jesus is coming back, why are you living like this then?
You're giving us mixed messages, man. You do exactly what we do. You act like just like us. You're in Sodom doing everything we're doing, and now you want to tell me about Jesus is coming back. You're a joke. He cannot save those he loves. He cannot save those closest to him now because he's become a joke. I want to say something. This is going to be very sobering, but it must be said. Be very careful that you do not erode your testimony with those you love. I don't mean because they knew you before you were saved. How many know we were all nuts before we got saved? So I'm not talking about, yeah, but we saw you in the club. Yeah, I weren't saved then. I was the worst. I understand that. But when you're compromising with them, there's going to come a day when you're going to want to really get serious with them. And they're going to take you like a joke. You do not want to stand over the grave of somebody that you could have influenced, but you compromised. You're going to feel it. You're going to feel it like you've never felt it. Like you've never felt it. You can cry, you can weep, we can pray for you, but you're going to feel it like you've never felt it. And it ain't the church's fault. It's not no one else's fault here. It will be yours. Because he made decisions that were looked good, that were temporal, that there was something in it that fed his flesh, but he didn't think about how it was going to play out. He lost everything that was valuable. We know that Jesus speaks about, remember Lot's wife, Luke 17 verse 32, who seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. We know he comes out of Sodom, his wife looks back. She turns into a pillar of salt. He led his wife into Sodom, but he couldn't lead her out. Do you know it's a lot easier to lead someone into compromise than lead them out? Do you know you can lead someone into compromise? Maybe in this church you could hang with someone. Hey, come around my house. And you start gossiping and dissing the church and doing all types of things, switching on things, watching madness, listening to madness. And then next week God gets hold of you. Oh, I need to repent. I need to get my heart right. And now you come out. But they're still there. They don't make it. They don't make it. I remember there was a guy that was telling me, came to Rotherhithe. And he said that he got saved, and then he backslid, and he started getting into drugs, and he got his friend into drugs. And then he got saved again, and then he went back to his friend to witness to his friend, and his friend wouldn't listen to him, didn't care, and I think the friend died. He led his friend into that, but he couldn't get him out. Be very careful. Let me speak to husbands here. Be very careful where you lead your wife, because if you lead your wife somewhere, there's no guarantees you can bring her out. I see guys that they don't lead their home. And so their wife starts to go a bit crazy, talking nonsense, all types of funky doctrines. Literally, talking funky doctrines. Now she don't know if the Bible's the Bible. Now she don't know if Jesus is Jesus. Now she don't know anything. Now, what kind of madness is that? Hold up. Where did we married you in the house of God. We married you under the name of Jesus Christ. I met my wife in church. We will always be in church. God will deal with me if I backslide and lead that woman out of church. God will say, listen, you met that woman in my house. You better stay in my house and keep her in my house and love her. This is hard to swallow. The Bible says that these stories are in the Bible for our learning. This is a tragic, tragic story. And he loses his legacy. He loses his legacy. Zephaniah 2 verse 9. Listen to what it says here. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be like Sodom. Wow. What happened to Sodom? Sodom was destroyed.
Moab. It's going to be like Sodom. The people of Ammon, like Gomorrah. Remember, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Overrun with weeds, salt pits, perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall plunder them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. These two places, Moab and Ammon, are going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you know that when Lot comes out of Sodom and Gomorrah, his wife turns into a pillar of salt, and the only people that come out with him is his daughters. So his daughters say, wow, we ain't got no husbands, we ain't got no children. If we die here, there's going to be no genealogy, there's no legacy. And so this is what they say, let's get our dad drunk and sleep with our dad. I mean, it was nasty. That's nasty. Like, where did you... Hey, girls, man, imagine talking to them, like two young girls. Where'd you get that from? Where'd you learn that from? Sodom. Remember, Sodom, that place ain't got no morals. They grew up there. We can't blame them. And so they do this. They do this abominable act. They get him drunk, and they sleep with their dad. They have sex with their dad, and they become impregnated. And the Bible says that each of them have a child, and the children that they have is Moab and Ammon. And the Bible says this thing goes full circle, because in this scripture, God says, even though you fleed out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the same judgment that was on them is going to be on your children. Because that Sodom and Gomorrah is in your daughters, and then what they did, and then it's in their children, and that becomes a nation, and God says they're going to receive the same judgment because it's in, because of compromise. This whole thing should make us really look and say, God, I need you to lead me. I don't know about you, but sometimes you can check your heart and feel, is the world pulling on my heart? Do I feel the pull of the world? The struggles of the flesh? Maybe if you're honest with yourself, you realize that Sodom, it started to look nice. Maybe you realize that you've started to allow something that looks good, but is bad in your life. Can I say this is where the hope is that God always wants to rescue his people from Sodom. God always wants to rescue us from Sodom. He always wants to rescue us from this place. The Bible says that these angels go down. Who was the one who sent that? That's God. God is the one who actually said, you know what? We need to rescue this guy. This guy's going crazy. God wants to rescue us today. The Bible says that God sent his only son. God sent Jesus. So many times, if you've been saved a while, this is the Wednesday crowd. So usually these are people that they know their Bibles, they're faithful, they want more of God. People that hear that you want to serve God, you love God. And so the question is this, is that we realize that when Jesus came, he came to save us from ourselves. He didn't come to save us like he's an add-on. Like he's something we're going to add. Like me and Jesus, come on, Jesus. What should we do now? What do you want to do? No, not today. You'll have your way tomorrow. I'll have my way today. Come on. That's not what it is. Jesus has come to save me and you from ourselves. You see, everything I've spoken about Sodom, all of the wickedness, all of the badness, all of the craziness is in us. You may think, oh, no, I'm quite good. I got this together. No, this is the whole point. When you read the book of Romans, what does it say? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None are righteous, no, not one. The Bible says that our mouth is like an open sepulchre, a rotting grave. God says, listen, if I leave you to yourself, you're going to end up like Lot. Some of you maybe feel that you've started already going down that road. Maybe some of you are already there. But can I tell you today, God is on a rescue mission. He's always on a rescue mission to rescue us. If you look in the Bible, Lot goes into Sodom in chapter 13. Our text is chapter 13. But if you've noticed, most of the references we've read was chapter 19. So chapter 13, Lot goes into Sodom. It's not until chapter 18 that we see all this madness. In chapter 13, we know that Sodom and Gomorrah is wicked, and God don't like it. Chapter 19 is where we see the madness going on. It's like, wow. In chapter 14, before we see the madness, we see a story where some kings have got a beef with Sodom and Gomorrah, and they go into Sodom and Gomorrah, and they take Sodom and Gomorrah and all the people out, and they run off with them. And Abraham hears about this. Abraham hears that, you know what, Lot has been taken because he was in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the Bible says that Abraham says to his guys, strap up. We're going to war. We're going to go get. I love this because this is how Jesus works. That even though we're in Sodom and we've been taken captive by our mad decisions, Jesus says, listen, Holy Spirit, strap up. We're going to get them out. We're going to get them out. I don't care how bad it is, however you've messed up, however you think, you know what? This is too difficult. I've gone too far. It's too deep. No, 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 no. God still wants to rescue you. God still wants to pull you out. God still, if you would see today, oh my Lord, God, will you rescue me? The Bible says in Genesis 14, verse 16, so he brought back all the goods. This is Abraham. Also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. At this point is where Lot should have said, I don't want to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. This is chapter 14. Remember, 13 he goes in, 14 he gets rescued. 14 is before 19, before it gets to that bad. Let God rescue you. As long as there's breath in your body, there's hope. It's today, your chapter 14, where God can get hold of your heart and rescue you. See, we don't need a chapter 19. None of us here need to get to that place. If you're here today, then God has ordained that you would hear this message, so there's hope for you. If there was no hope for you, you wouldn't be here. Why would he let you hear this to rub it in your face? You know, the beauty of this is that let me read this scripture, last scripture, Genesis 13, 14. The Bible says, and the Lord said to Abraham after Lot separated from him. So now Lot is gone. And so the Lord says to Abraham, lift up your eyes, now look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you now see, I give to you and your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, and walk in the land through the length and the width, and I will give it to you. Then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelled by the terebinth tree in Mirah, where is Hebron, and he built an altar to the Lord. Listen, today, if we would allow the Lot in us to be separated, we would hear God clear. The Bible says that God did not say this to Abraham until Lot was separated from him. We all have a little Lot in us. Some of you might have a lot of Lot. But if we will allow ourselves to be broken and say, you know what, I want this Lot to be separated. Remember, what was the motive? Lot thought, oh, I can get stuff there. I can succeed there. I can have that. Separate that. Trust God. The Bible says straight after that, God promises him a blessing anyway. You know, God is not against riches. God is not against wealth. God is not against prosperity and success. God is not against those things. God is against when we put those things before Him. The Bible says that they were already rich. Remember? This whole problem started because they're rich. Abraham was rich. And the Bible says that God speaks to Abraham and He builds an altar. Today we want to build an altar. This is why we have an altar call at the end of our services. A place where we're going to sacrifice our old will before we destroy ourselves and destroy our lives. Under this word, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, let God speak to you today. Let God search your heart today and say, God, you know what? I don't want to go in this direction. I'm making poor choices. I'm going in the wrong direction. I'm doing things before it's too late. God always wants to give us an opportunity. Take this opportunity, I beg. God will bless you. This is a blessing that blows the mind. He says, listen, this is a blessing that you can't even count. This is a blessing that you cannot measure. He's going to put you in a place where eastward, now northward, south, all of that. He says, this is a massive space. This is God's blessing. It's how He always blesses us. But we've got to trust Him and stay in His place and do it His way. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.